Hey everybody, welcome back to the Help Me Parent podcast. My name is Kylie. I am your host. And with me as always, Dr. Ellen Moore.
Good morning.
Good morning. We're back at the table.
I know.
Across from each other. I know. We're a little bit closer. And today we have what I've coined the dad-sode. We have two dads on the podcast with us. We have Mike and Joel. Hello. Good morning.
Hello. Hello. Thanks for having us. Good morning.
Yes. So go ahead, introduce yourselves. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Fun fact. All that
fun
jazz.
Fact, I wasn't prepared for that. Mike Alcorn, I've been serving ARC Kids for 19 years now. Nice. I have two kids. Luke, he is 9, and Elise is 7.
Nice.
Yep. My name is Joel, and I've been serving in ARC Kids for a while.
Long time.
I think you have me beat.
25, 26 years, something like that, and I have 4 kids.
Nice.
And my wife's name is Heather.
Nice.
And she's amazing.
Oh, I have a wife too. Her name's Pam.
I was waiting for that.
Yeah, I know.
We did not forget about Pam. We're just going to cut that part. And
hint.
She'll be...
This is the dad cast, not the spouse cast. I don't know what...
He's one-upped you.
That's right. And always.
Then you shouldn't have felt bad about it.
20 years of this.
20 yes. years of the one-upping. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So y'all have been serving together in ARC Kids, our children's ministry, for... 19 years since you joined.
Since I was skinny, yes.
Since I had hair.
Yeah.
Which, another fun fact, I have known them for that long, both of them, before they were husbands, before they were dads.
And how have they done?
They have done brilliantly. They have, the bar was a little low. So they have exceeded expectations in every way.
Yes.
Nice.
100%.
You got the Ellen stamp of approval.
That's right, yeah.
That's what it all came down to. We just wanted to get y'all's like performance review for the past 20 years.
Yeah.
You've done great.
It sounds like a C+. That's passing.
But solid C.
Yeah.
Stellar.
It's awesome. I love serving with y'all. Y'all, your heart for kids and for children's ministry, it is a direct example of Jesus. And we are blessed by it here. So thank you guys. And thank you guys for being on the podcast. Y'all are funny and it's going to be a great episode. So I'm glad y'all mentioned how long you have been serving because you're involved in church. You have been, and your whole family is involved. How has that impacted your family, your marriage, your kids' upbringing? How has that affected it?
So I would say that it was really helpful that I had a solid foundation here before having kids. I would say maybe it would sound more like a commitment, but in reality it was more of a habit. And that was what really helped, because, you know, whenever Pam and I met, when we were dating and we started coming to church together, and it became part of our routine. And so whenever we had kids, it was just kind of what we did. Mm-hmm. And that helped, because it wasn't something that I think that we had to intentionally plan for every Sunday. Like, okay, I guess this week we'll go to church. It was just part of our lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And look, it wasn't easy early on. Like, we've talked several times about some of the things with some of the kids, or with Luke, whenever he was not thrilled all the time about coming to church. And people who volunteered, who took care of him, made it easy for us to continue that habit. And now that's a habit in our kids' lives. We were out of town for vacation or something a while back, and my 75-year-old aunt was keeping them. And the plan was for her just to stay at home and not leave, just hang out there with them. And they begged her to come to church, mm-hmm. because they didn't want to miss church. And they didn't want to miss interacting with another volunteer. And so that habit has really been something that's made parenting in our lives a whole lot easier.
Mm-hmm. Well, for me, it was always a hope that my kids would want to do that, because I've always been involved in church. I've never just gone. Mm-hmm. I'd always volunteered, and it's pretty much always been in with the children's ministry, mm-hmm. Even before the ARC. And I was very, very glad when, especially like our kids started to talk about their interest in doing that. Mm-hmm. Our oldest, he didn't actually want to leave class when he was leaving ours. Mm-hmm. He actually wanted to stay and help me, mm-hmm. which unfortunately, buddy, you're not old enough. But he was still able to go down and help out with the smaller age group below us, the junior auditorium. And so, mm-hmm. I'm just like, that's just kind of, to me, though, that's kind of showing like what church is actually supposed to be, where it's not just it's not a spectator sport. In my mind, it should really be something that is active in your life and that you are active in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, we were talking about it a couple of weeks ago that, like, I grew up in church and my parents made sure we were there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. If there was a revival, we were always at church.
Right.
And that's not to say that we weren't like involved, but we went to church. And one thing that I've really enjoyed, like, about, because your kids come to huddle before service a lot of times, mine are always right. in huddle, and like, they don't know church is something that they just a place they go to and then they go home, and that's just a moment in time. Like, they feel like they're connected here and that they actually like are involved, and that's been good for me, and good for me that other people on staff and other volunteers have welcomed them and, yeah. and said, like, let's put them to work, let's make sure that they're involved.
Well, also, and the interest that they showed in it was something I never brought up. It was because of the fact right. that they were all, I'd always have them in tow, and they'd always sit on the couch during right. our meetings pre-service, and it just something that they brought up themselves. I mean, it organically came out of mm-hmm. the fact that that's what we did.
Yeah.
Which is something we talk yes. about a lot on here, that more is caught than taught yep. in parenting.
Absolutely.
And lots of times we talk about the things that kids catch from us that are negative, but it absolutely is true on the positive mm-hmm. that you guys had a relationship with Jesus that showed up in every area of your life, including serving here, and your experience with kids here. You obviously had a heart, you had gifting in that, and I love that serving in our kids didn't deter you from uh-huh. wanting to be yeah. dads.
Uh-huh. Oh, no, right? No, not at all.
You saw early on the value of ministry to kids. You wanted kids of your own. Now that you have them and they are catching who you are, your relationship with Jesus, your wife's relationships with Jesus, and this being one of the ways we serve and honor him. And so it is. It's just what they know. It is what we do. Yeah. And so it's like never a question. So well done.
Yeah. I think that's the coolest thing. I like what you said. It was just a habit, and it formed, like you said, it before you got married yeah. and have had kids. Did that conversation come up when y'all did get married? Like, okay, like, how are we going to factor this in? Like, with raising kids, going to church every week. And I know you two specifically are very busy with your jobs. Y'all are always traveling, but it's still a priority. Was that ever like a conversation that y'all had to like sit down and have?
I had a conversation with Heather before we got married. She was never really involved with ministry per se. Oh. She would do some visitations and things like that mm-hmm. to, like offsite. But as far as being involved with the children's ministry, it was something I always hoped she would do. But it wasn't really something that really, you know, jumped out at her. But it was also understood that I was still going to do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was still very much a part of our lives. And if she wasn't actively involved in it, just the support, you know, the understanding that sometimes I'd have to get up and go early. Sometimes we wouldn't attend services together. Mm-hmm. So there was that part. Now she does, you know, help out in nursery here mm-hmm. at church.
Yeah. And she was committed to coming to church. It wasn't.
Oh, absolutely. That, no. She just was not wanting to.
Looked different for her.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah. She's definitely here 15 minutes early to get her seat. Okay, that's not the, the attending and the being involved in church isn't the, it wasn't the issue. It's just
yes.
doing mm-hmm. children's ministry mm-hmm. with me mm-hmm. necessarily wasn't a priority, or wasn't something we did.
And I think that whenever Pam and I met, like I thought about, like, we had a lot of fun teaching and it was like, it was a blast being in there. And I thought, man, she's going to love doing this. and she didn't mind being in there watching right. what we did. And it was entertaining, but it wasn't her thing. Yeah. And at the time I was still kind of splitting some time serving in nursery too, because uh-huh. church was still growing. And that's part of where I'd started, was between both the first through fifth and then in nursery. And I thought it was really cool that she found her place, and it was her identity, and like her friends, and one of which being Heather. Like they served together while Joel and I were serving together, and eventually that's just what their thing was, and that's, I think, kept us both connected because we both had, you know, our sense of purpose here.
Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you have your kids ever asked you, like, why do you serve, or like, why do we go to church every week? Has that ever been a conversation?
Specifically that, no. I think probably though, because we talk a whole lot about if you can help somebody, you're supposed to help them.
Yeah.
Like that's one of, you know, my oldest is 12, my youngest is 4. And so we talk a whole lot about anytime you can help somebody, you know, you should do what you can do. And so that's, I think that kind of just kind of flows into it. So the specific question of whether or not or why I help out here pops up as much as more. That's just kind of goes in line with that core teaching, I guess you could say, that we have for our kids.
I was going to say, I think that like it's almost the opposite. It's the same for that, the opposite of the question, where I find them frequently telling me why we serve.
Or,
and whenever they see someone who might have been sad that day or didn't know anybody, and then they, you know, take them and go, you know, mingle with them, and they come in and let me know why we serve without me telling them why we serve. So.
And you're like, wow, you are so wise.
I'm like, man, I gotta write that down.
That you're gonna book one day.
Yeah. And I know that with both of you, you alluded to it, Mike, a few minutes ago, but just the whole concept of if your kids, for whatever reason, aren't liking coming to church or they're not connected at this moment, your kids have had opportunities along the way to like press through shyness, or, you know, it's like, no, I want to stay with you. No, you need to go to your class. Mm-hmm. Those sorts of issues. So how have you navigated that?
Drop them off at class.
Run down the hall as fast as I can.
I don't want to go to class. That's unfortunate.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
it'll be okay.
There were times where we, you know, I started off talking about a habit that we had, but in the middle of some of that, I think there were times where we did have to be intentional about keeping that going because we were starting to make, maybe not decisions, but thoughts about decisions about skipping this week or skipping next week because our kids, we felt like they were maybe a burden on the volunteers in the other classes because they were taking a lot of attention to get them to stay there and not scream and cry. And I tell you what made a big difference was the heart of the volunteers here, where people always did make sure that we knew that, like, that's why they were there, so that we could go to church and be fed and go to serve and feed other kids. We're never made to feel bad about it. And what's interesting to me now, like I had the opportunity last week with a little girl who was not having our class. Like, she was really sad, and Kylie and I were working together on it, and actually Megan said something beforehand during our huddle about, like, taking time to listen to a kid instead of getting so caught up in emotions, like whenever someone has something they want to tell you. And so I thought about it, I paused, and you know, we spent the next 20 minutes hanging out, and it was a great experience. And I got to talk to her dad afterwards about, you know, we didn't drag him out of service. And Pam's had similar things in the nursery where they've had some challenging kids, and as a result of the way that people treated us with our challenging situation with kids, like it made me understand the importance of us being that for some other parent too. So it was not easy early on, but people here made it easier.
I will say though too, there was a specific, our youngest Madison, she, for some reason, for a while there, did not like going to, there was a 2-year-old class I think she was in at the time.
Was it Penny?
No.
Definitely not.
No. Anyway, she didn't want to go, and so we did at first start, you know, no, you have to go. But I didn't see any improvement in her wanting to attend the class. You know, her desire, I guess you could say. And so that's when I did start changing up a bit. I would take her with me. I think a couple of times I did drag her to class whenever I was there, and she'd hang out with me while I'm checking kids in and stuff, and she'd just kind of stand to the side. Just because it was getting to the point to where I felt it was no longer just her being obstinate as much as there was actually something that she was legitimately scared of. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I can't start forcing her to go do something that she's legitimately scared about, but she was also 2 or 3 at the time and she couldn't explain it to me what it was. Uh-huh. So like, I wanted her to make sure that my job was to keep her safe. And so if she, for some reason, thinks that, you know, that's something's going to happen, then let's go over here and let's figure it out. And after, you know, a couple of months, it just, we figured it out.
Yeah.
But,
which, you know, they do. They go, all kids go through stages and, you know, there are tons of things going on in their minds that they can't articulate. And right. we're just guessing, you know, trying to figure it out. Right. So I think a couple of things that you both did that were very wise was you saw that there was an opportunity for, whether you're thinking about the other volunteers or thinking about your kids, where our worlds can just revolve around our kids as parents. And we're like, okay, am I going to make you the center of my world? Mm-hmm. And I think you've both done a great job of saying, you know what? I think it's important for you to learn you're not the center of the universe. That right. there are some hard things in life. There are some no's. There are some things that we have to press through just because it's the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. And this isn't a time for you to get to be in charge. I think there's a lot of wisdom in that. At the same time, to be attentive to those moments where they are going through something emotionally and to say, oh, maybe I need to pause here and do a little bit more listening. I need to really find out what's going on. Is there some kind of fear or sadness or something going on in their head that in their mind, 1 + 1 is equaling 2, but it doesn't. Mm-hmm. And so being able to speak into that, to show value to what they're experiencing and be attentive to that, responsive to that, and still then guiding them back to what's going to be best for them.
Yeah, I think that one of the things that we had to learn, and we don't always get it right for sure, but is that like it was good to come with a plan. So whatever the plan, whatever the day was, the situation was, here was the plan. But whenever the plan didn't execute the way that we had it laid out, yeah. like that we had to remain somewhat flexible to adapt yeah. to it while still sticking with, you know, values and things that yeah. we believed in. But understand that like no plan's perfect. Mm-hmm. And I see people in my life who get really freaked out whenever their plan doesn't just like go to a
yes.
T, and like they're little human beings too,
mm-hmm. yeah.
with their own plan or lack thereof.
yes.
And so being able to adapt to that and being willing to like you said, to like, to take the time to listen and yeah. figure out how to come up with a new plan on the
yeah.
fly.
Uh-huh.
Makes it a little bit less stressful.
Yeah.
Well, the plans never work out too, because they're, like you said, they're weird little people. That, yeah. But they, I mean, but each of them are so different as well.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
yeah.
from the oldest to the youngest. Yeah. And we have this, we're on the gamut of like personalities and interests.
Yeah.
It's really, really interesting. And so even then, like I can't handle them as, I can't handle the situations with each of them as the same, in the same situations.
Yeah.
I said that horribly.
Yeah.
I could not handle each of the children in a similar situation the same way I would the other.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you're talking about saying no. I've also found too that the older they get, the more I'm able to say yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like starting off, it's a whole lot of no,
like
please don't. Right. You know, but as they get older and, you know, they start to make better decisions mm-hmm. and then get more experience and that I'm able to start saying yes more often, or even start asking the question, well, what do you think
mm-hmm.
about this?
Yeah. Yeah. What do you want?
What
to
would
do?
You like to do about
yeah.
this?
Yeah.
Here's a scenario. I'm not even giving them a choice.
Right.
I want you to figure it out.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You made me think like, I don't know what the age was, but there absolutely was an age where, where we had to be the, like the voice of reason and the, you know, we were setting the rules, there were boundaries, and we weren't asking for your feedback because like this is, we're raising a little crazy being. And, but then like to your point, like there was a flip to where instead of just being some sort of a dictator where we could have a little bit of back and forth conversation about, you know, like why, what were you trying to accomplish with this? I read a book one time and the author said that he felt like a parent's greatest job was to teach their kids how to critically think.
Yeah.
And like, I thought it was profound because he said, instead of giving them the answers or, you know, or like coming down on them at some point, being able to ask them the questions, like, what did you expect the outcome to be for whatever this action was? Right. Instead of saying like, that was stupid, you shouldn't have done that. Like, what were you thinking? Yeah. And when you say, what were you thinking? Like, that's a very like aggressive way of going at it. That doesn't really give them a chance because they don't know what they were thinking, but asking them like, what were you trying to accomplish here? And I've found that a lot of times I get really good responses that I'm like, oh, I was about to be extremely angry about that, but I understand your logic. It might not have been the right way to do it, but at least I understand that you weren't just being crazy out there.
Yes.
So, well, it's also progression too of, I've started with our children asking them to, I want you to solve problems.
Yeah.
I want you to figure that out. Number one, like you will be fine for the rest of your life if you can figure out how to solve problems.
Yep.
And two, when you get to the point to where you can start foreseeing problems and solving them before they occur. And so like you were saying, like, what were you thinking? Well, I mean, maybe not so much what you were thinking, but like, what did you think was going to happen?
Yeah.
Like you did this. You grab that cat by the tail. Yes, it is going to scratch. We do. and you know, if you do that, they're probably a little upset. Probably going to just scratch your arm off. That's what's going to happen because they're a cat. What did you think was going to happen? If I grab you by your
This is a rabbit
tail?
Trail we were talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no, that's good. No, but with all of this, with teaching the kids, with asking them questions, with going to church and serving, the thing that keeps coming up in my mind is the heart behind it all. We always talk about it's about relationship, right? Yeah. And that's, it comes down to the heart. This is why we do this. This is why we serve. This is why I love you and I'm going to help you solve these problems. And it comes down to the heart behind parenting, by Jesus leading your parenting. And so my question for you, Ellen, is what should your heart posture be to raising your kids up and like the way they should go? You know, we always talk about that and the way they should go so that they don't depart from it. What should be the heart posture behind that?
Yeah. I think it is our goal as parents. And really, not just our goal for our own sake to be successful, but our responsibility given by God is to raise our kids in a way where they become lifelong friends and followers of Jesus, that they have a healthy relationship with Him, and a healthy relationship with us, because we want them to spend time with us even when they don't have to, when they get older, and to have healthy relationships with the rest of the world. So it is all about relationship, and to go about it in, which you guys have said all throughout our chat, has been helping them become who God created them to be. Mm-hmm. Because God has purpose for every single person on the earth. And their purpose isn't just for when they grow up. They have purpose at every age and stage.
Yep.
Purpose in this world, and specifically as followers of Jesus, roles and things God wants to accomplish through them in His kingdom. Mm-hmm. And so parenting is all about facilitating all of that.
Yeah.
And that's facilitated through relationship. That's how God does it with us. Mm-hmm. He helps us become who He created us to be in relationship with him, mm-hmm. and to accomplish his plans and purposes on this earth through relationship with him. So it is that relationship, and that relationship looks different at every age and stage of development. Mm-hmm. And what you guys were just saying is exactly what we've talked about, the early stages from, you know, a few months old to like 4 or 5 is about discipline. It's about, let me help you know and experience the wise thing to do and how to respond in these situations and how not to respond. And then from kinderish through the elementary ages, we're the trainers. So we're right there. We are on the track with them. We are running their race with them, right alongside them, and say, nope, hold up here. Nope. Yep. Go for it. And we're giving these, we're training. And so it's lots of instruction, lots of repetition. And then the teen years, which you're getting ready for, are you become the coach. So you're not right there beside them. You're on the sideline, but you're the coach saying, all right, you've got this. Hey, watch your pace. Hey, think about this. And you're asking, you can ask different questions. Mm-hmm. You can give more yeses. You can, as a coach is very different than a disciplinarian and a trainer. Mm-hmm. And then you get to become the friend, which when you're old like me, that's one of the benefits of you get to be friends with your kids. And not that you're not friendly along the way, because right. we want relationships.
But the relationship changes.
It does.
Yes.
In every age and stage. So I think it is thinking about keeping the end in mind at every age and stage, mm-hmm. that here's what we want. We want them to have a healthy view of who God is and who he's created them to be, so that they have a healthy relationship with him, because there are going to be days that we're not there. But God will mm-hmm. always be there. And if they have him, they've got everything they need.
Yeah.
Well, and the whole point too is people always, like, I'm pretty strict as a parent.
We
are.
Just ask our kids, right?
Yes. I mean, pretty strict. And I've had people before comment of, like, what are you doing? Number one, like, well, Joel, they're good kids. I was like, well, yes, and I expect that, because they should know better by now. You know, some of the things that they, you know, and like that, like just like whenever I pick up my kids at a class here, you know, how were they? Well, Joel, they were good. Good. That's that should be the report. That's the way it's supposed to be. But also,
that's who they were created to be.
Correct.
Yeah.
But there's also people say, you know, why are you strict, or why do you expect so much from? And they're just a kid. Like, well, yes, right now, but like, I'm not trying to raise a kid. I'm not trying to raise a child. I'm trying to raise an adult. I'm trying to get to that point. And I think people sometimes lose track of time. Mm-hmm. Of how much time we actually have with our children to train them to be an adult. Daniel's 12. He is 2/3 of the way to 16. I'm sorry, 2/3 of the way, 18. My gosh. Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. Bad math.
Max doing the math.
Carry the one. Yeah, there's another two, whatever. You know, but he's 2/3 of the way there already. And it's gone by, and there's a couple, it feels like it's been a couple of months.
Yep.
And like, I have to, but that's why I am strict. That's why I do expect a lot out of my kids. That, and also I know that what they're capable of. Like, I've known them all their lives. Like, I know what they can and cannot do. you know, that's the ultimate goal. I want them to be the very best adult that they can. I want them to be able to, like we were talking about, it has to be done in love. And my goal ultimately is for my children to literally spread as much love across the world as they can, mm-hmm. which will be mostly done locally with the people that they know. But that is the ultimate goal. And also, like we're saying, like to help out when you can, to do that to help protect other people from the world with the love they're able to give them, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's a great way to look at it. At the same time, I don't want us to lose sight of, you also want them to be not just the best adult that they can be. You want them to be the best 2-year-old they can be.
Oh, absolutely.
You want them to be the best 6-year-old.
That's the progression. It has to go from the best 2 to 3-year-old to this 3-year-old to 4-year-old to 5-year-old.
Exactly.
All the way up.
Right.
So I found that one of my biggest challenges, because I was raised by a mom who was extremely strict, and she told me, and I didn't understand it until I had kids, that her job wasn't to be my friend. It was to be my parent. And I think that as a kid, I really resented that. Even though we had a great relationship, I couldn't wrap my head around what that even meant until having kids. Yeah. And I'm a lot like her. But you know, Luke was very, very strong-willed, and separating me thinking like, why is he acting out, to looking at like, oh, this is going to be a very strong, you know, young adult and adult, and like, and trying to figure out how do I discipline this kid to where he's not a little jerk, but then also not stifle this really good gift that he has within him. And I don't think I did a great job. I mean, some days I did better than others, but to really step back and say, okay, it's my job to make sure that he is a respectful, you know, individual, while not extinguishing that really big flame of his, there was a big personality as a leader. And what I saw as being annoying in the moment, was something that I have to develop into a leadership skill. So that's a struggle of mine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's a great way to look at it. And here's the thing, God knows us. He knows we are not going to be the perfect parent, that we're going to make mistakes. We're going to do some things.
That's what we came here for.
We're going to do some things wrong and wish we had done things differently. But he knew you were the ones that he could entrust with your 2, with your 4. He said, they're the guys. They're the ones who can help these particular kids become who I've created them to be. And so when we approach it, knowing that this is a calling, that our kids are a gift to us, and we are being not just like commissioned to do this job by God, but we are also being helped by him every step of the way, then it's like, okay, Lord, I'm doing the best I can. Mm-hmm. Show me, I'm trusting you to bring the right things to my attention at the right time. And he does that so faithfully. And at the end of the day, and I think kind of going back to what you were saying about training up our kids in the way they should go, all of this is that, mm-hmm. that we're taking our job seriously. We're not abdicating our roles. And that's what I would say about both of you that I so appreciate. You have been so intentional and are mm-hmm. so intentional with your role as dad that you haven't abdicated that. You haven't been like, oh, they can take care of this at school or they can take care of this at church. You 100% see it as your job and you have been all in. Mm-hmm. And that, what that does for kids, the security and the stability And the comfort that that brings to our kids is irreplaceable. When a dad is seeing their job, doing it intentionally, not just leaving it to mom, not just leaving it to teachers, to coaches, and all of those people have very significant roles mm-hmm. in our kids' lives. But you guys have seen your job and your role and taken it seriously, and your kids have benefited and will continue to benefit from that for the rest of their lives. Mm-hmm. And you're not trying to do it all the same for every kid, realizing you've got to train this child in the way he should go, and then train this one in the way she should go, and helping them noticing some of these giftings, noticing these abilities, noticing these weaknesses, these tendencies, and speaking into that, training towards that. And the Lord just helps us. And then our kids will want,
yeah,
they will be that.
Mm-hmm. That's so true.
Yeah. I mean, I'm thankful for like people like Joel and Steve Wynn and others. Like I've been really fortunate to be surrounded by people who I consider great dads that even before kids, I looked at the way they did things. Whenever I had kids, I was able to ask questions about how they did things. Yeah. And now we, you know, share the good stories and all the misery and everything together too in the moments. But like I've been fortunate to, you know, the people who we've served with in our kids, we've always had a pretty good male support group and group of volunteers that it's been good. The other thing that I thought about as you were saying that was that, like, some of that, a large portion of that, like, I gotta give credit to Pam, because we, you know, we didn't do things in a silo. We didn't just magically say, okay, you could do the mom thing, we'll do the dad thing, we'll meet up at the end of the night and see if it worked out.
Yeah.
It took a lot of communication and support with one another to where we got on the same page. And if we weren't on the same page, we didn't try to sort it out in front of the kids. We figured out what a concerted effort was. We were really intentional about trying to not allow ourselves to be divided with two kids who had their own agendas too. And none of this would ever work if it wouldn't have been for support from her and vice versa.
Yeah.
Because like she helped me to be a good dad too. So, and she also gave me a lot of grace whenever I was a bad dad. So, that's a big part of that equation.
Yeah. And I love what you said too, that I think is a really important point for a dad sode. Mm-hmm. I think we talk about it with moms a lot, with kind of finding your people, finding your community, mm-hmm. but dads need that too.
Yeah.
Other like-minded and different-minded men that you can share stories with and ask questions and answer questions for, I think is so important. And the fact that you guys have found your people through serving, I think that's also such a great example for your kids. Like, you know, where do you find the people that you do life with? Find people who have similar hearts, and some who are a few steps ahead of you, some who are a few steps behind you, and do life with them. And the fact that you've shown them what that looks like here at church, I think is such a great, great example.
Yeah. And you can see it through your kids
totally
too. Like, Eve, with your two and with your oldest, and I'm excited to see it with the rest of yours, their hearts.
Yeah.
Like when I was their age, all I cared about was like, getting an American Girl doll or like, what, like seriously.
Kirsten?
No, it was one that looked like me,
okay.
Which was really important.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And so, but seeing them attending our huddles and seeing your oldest start to serve, like I had walked through in junior where he serves, is huddling, mm-hmm. and Gina, our area leader, said, don't worry, he's on his way. And I was like, he's in sixth grade and they are so excited and dependent on him coming. And he's 12. Like that, it blew my mind. And then your kids having the heart to serve and just wanting to be with Jesus at church around people who love him is just, it's a great thing to be around. It's a great thing that you two are around, your family's around, and it's a great encouragement, I think, for families to get involved.
Yeah, and their kids are being who God created mm-hmm. them to be at 12 and 9 mm-hmm. and 7 and 4, and I don't remember all your ages. You've got 9, one in 8, every
6
stage.
And 4.
There you go.
There you go.
I'm sorry, 12, 8, 6, and 4. Did I say 9?
Yeah.
That math thing.
Yeah.
Hard. Math is hard.
But they are making a difference in their worlds right where they are, here at church, and I know everywhere else. So well done.
Good job.
Well done, dads.
Thanks. That's a great note to end on. Thank you guys for coming onto the podcast, for being here. We appreciate you guys a lot and love getting to chat with y'all. So thank you, everybody, for listening. Just remember that you can parent and we can help.